This weekend is Father's Day weekend. We picture Father's Day as, you know, honoring the father, the head of the household in our minds. But in many nations or many cultures, the father is not the head of the family. And if you want to go one step further in the animal kingdom, the males are not the dominant ones, the females. Many beings or many animals don't celebrate, but just like for our purpose, not even one Father's Day. How would you like to be the mate of a black widow? Many of you know that the mate of a black widow spider gets eaten. So, or how about in some realm that I'm pretty familiar with, and maybe you, since I've talked with you, many of you, and the bee. I'm a raised bees, like many of you know. And this time of year, it is bad to be a male. Because this time of year, all the nurse bees take all the male bees and they throw them out of the hive. And I've witnessed this for the past 3 days, that the male bees are called drones. The drones are grasping for dear life to the nurse bees, and they're going, "Get out of here." And they just physically throw them out. Male bees cannot fend for themselves. If it isn't for the worker bees, they starve to death. So they even throw them onto the, there's a wolf spider that's at the end of at the base of the beehive. And when they throw the male bees out, well, the wolf spider's there to eat them. And if you're unborn, that doesn't mean anything either, because they'll cut you out. They'll cut out the little place where you're being transformed, and the little nymph. They'll pull out the nymph and throw that out too. The reason being is because the wildflowers are less now, because now more than ever, because there's a drought. There's less nectar. So, as many of you know, a beehive is a living organism made of bees. So they'll go ahead and be cut down where they need to. And they cut down the excess weight. One of those adventures I had, I went to a place I get my bees from. And I brought in and I assembled them. There's this process you go through, and you put them in these hives. And there was an upcoming storm coming. And I said, "Well, I've got plenty of time." I had bought anchor straps. You have the strap and the anchors so the wind won't knock over your beehives. I said, "Oh, I'll get them later." And when I said that to myself as I went to the house, I went to school in my elementary and in my middle school years in a Catholic school. And there was a mother superior that always would say to us, he says, "Never leave for tomorrow what you can do today." And for some reason, you know, she would admonish me, whether I needed it or not, frequently. Well, the northern that was supposedly forecasted to be much later than the week sped up and hit that night. And I woke up, and it was... my beehives were, the newly installed beehives were all over the place, and bees, since it was cold, they were nestled into little pockets, you know, because they really don't know where they're at. So you have to go in and put them all together and hope in that bunch that you're putting in that the queen's there. So you're putting in all this, and all this, that the rewind start coming to me, what my mother superior would say. And that's the title of my sermonette. And I know it's hardly happened to any of you, procrastination. Or what I've been told is the do it later syndrome. You've got a syndrome called do it later. Yeah. Well, let's go and open that to Paul and what he said to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And this is the English Standard Version. I like to dabble into different versions. He says, in chapter 5, verse 15, it says, Paul said, he said, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of time because the days are evil. Time is against you, what he was basically saying. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This instruction is very basic and simple. Then why does it continue to be a problem? Ask yourself, well, I'm going to leave 7 points with us. I'm going to go through 7 points and through personal experience, and I pulled up something. 7 points on how to help ourselves combat that do-it-later syndrome. Number one, we try to make it the best use of your time. Many answer by saying, I'm so busy all the day, how can I be, you know, make more time for it? Well, let's analyze what you're doing. Look at your day and see what you're doing. Then you can ask, okay, is your day being planned effectively? Go through it. You wake up and you go through a certain scenario and you find out that a lot of what you're doing is unnecessary. You go to your car and you come back and you go to the car and come back and you should have done it, that packing last night. You know, whatever it be. It'd be at work, or if it would be for a trip, or it'd be for services. Plan your time. Always think what you're going to be doing the next day. At the end of your day, you should be planning for the next day in the morning. Number two, is your plan for the day prioritized? Are you starting with frivolous things or stuff that you like to do, or is it necessary? Allow enough time to do your tasks that are in your schedule. It can be in schedule in your hand. The most important ones first. If this means dropping a task, yeah, I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not taking my mid-afternoon nap today. Well, yeah, you can drop that task. Or you might need it. Then do so. Because if you don't, you risk the quality and maybe even safety. Several weeks ago, I went ahead and I told Amalia, I said, well, I'm going to take my mid-afternoon nap because what I was working out in the fields. And if I don't, you know, you might have to pick me up from the field. So if you might need that. So prioritize it. Choose wisely. In the carpentry field, they always say, measure twice, cut once. Take the time to measure twice. You know, or torque it. Make sure it's torqued down right. Driving too fast to get to where you're going doesn't really help anything. You always say, well, if I leave at 2:30, that brings me, I'll be at services at 3 o'clock. It takes maybe 40 minutes to get there. 30, I can make it in 30. Yeah, I have plenty of time. Just so you can have that 30 minutes. And all of us know that you have people walk in right and sometimes it's, you know, they're barreling through traffic. Sometimes you might have a traffic jam. So measure your time and avoid trying to drive too fast. I should have made strapping down and anchoring of my beehives a priority that day. And because I did not, I had anxiety issues. Number three, wake up early. If you have something to do, make it a task to wake up early, and I'm going to promote eating a breakfast. You've got to eat breakfast, brother, because you've spent all night not eating, technically. Go over the things that gives you time to go over the things that you need to do that day. If you are making a list to do that day, some people make a list. Let's go to Proverbs 31, 31:15. Proverbs 31:15. And that helped me a lot. When I was at work, I'd have by the time I got to work, I already had it planned, my day planned, and my staff, as they were coming in, I had given them what their tasks were for that day. Proverbs 31, and this is going for the virtuous wife, but this can apply to us. 31:15, Proverbs, says, "She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls." Now, it specifies a she, but it can be a male too. And it can be the same thing. You're preparing for work. You wake up early enough. By the time it's time to leave, you have everything in order. You only double-checked what you needed to go. Number four, do a little each day. If you have a big task at the end of the week to complete, and if you've got time to do it, schedule something in the rest of the week so you can have it, the finished product, or whatever you're going to finish by the end of the week. Some people I've worked with know that they have a certain task, and I've worked with people who are like making a fence, and instead of, okay, let's set the post on Tuesday, and frame it up by Wednesday, and you can do several jobs that way you're doing that. But no, some people like to, let's set the post on Friday morning, and by Friday on 2 o'clock, it'll be ought to be kind of dry. And I said, no. So do a little each day. And that helped me a lot while I was studying in college. Somebody told me that and showed me how to do that. There are many day a day are many tasks in a day. If you do a little each one, you can finish it by the end of the week. Number five, do not get distracted. When you get distracted, especially with our telephones, we call them telephones or mini computers that have an app that happens to be a phone. When new or unplanned events come, prioritize it. Do I need to answer this person right now? Because I know this person's just going to talk to me about the weather. I'll take care of it later. Prioritize it accordingly. Remember, just because it came up right then does not mean it is a priority. I need it done. No, you want it done. If it is, then something on your list will need to drop. And don't forget to drop it. Go ahead and drop it. Yeah, sometimes it's not, we can't say, yeah, Mark, it's easy for you to. Let's go ahead and try it. Proverbs. It says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left." In other words, focus on what you're going to get or what you're going to do and do it. That way, at the end of the day, you have finished you've accomplished something. There was a sergeant that used to tell his recruits, he said, "At the beginning of the day, I want you to make your bed." I'm pretty sure a lot of you have heard that. Make your bed. And when you make your bed, at least you've accomplished something in the morning. You've done something. Number six, don't waste time. Nielsen reported people spent about 9 hours and 39 minutes engaging in gadgets. In other words, games on their little phones. This was back in July 29, 2016. Ephesians 5:16. Let's go to what Paul said about wasting time. Chapter 5, verse 16.
at 16, it says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You know, time is against us.
Let's go to step 7. Learn to say no. Sometimes we find ourselves taking on too much, brethren. Especially if you are the go-to guy at work. Lots of times, yes, I can do that. Yeah, go ahead and give it to me. And you say in your head, well, if I drop this or I figure out this, but at the long run, you're just taking on too much. Don't be afraid to say, no, I can't do that today, or I can't do it right now. How about if I do it tomorrow? I'll pencil you in. As a contractor or a worker for an organization, sometimes you have to do that. Because sometimes they just give you a block of work, and sometimes you have to analyze what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done that day. And you have to prioritize it accordingly. And sometimes you say, no, I'm not staying late to work. I've got a family function to go to. There you go, prioritizing. And there you go saying, no, I'm not going to do it because I have a priority, which is a family function. Matthew 5:37.
Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
So don't be a wishy-washy, brethren. If it's a yes, it's a yes. And if it's a no, it's a no. Don't say, well, maybe I might. Because when you say maybe I might, the person might say, yeah, he's going to do it or she's going to do it. And then when the task is at hand or you're supposed to produce something, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, I thought you were going, no, I told you maybe. And you catch yourself in an awkward situation. Everyone's situation is different. Will this mean that your loyalty meter to the company or to that particular client might drop? I said, yes. If you prioritize your family for them, yeah, it's going to drop. But that's okay. Does this mean you might not get the late call or that extra job or the promotion because you spend more time with your family or because of the Sabbath? Yes, that might be also, but that's okay because we're not here for the job. Luke 10, brother. Luke 10. Dr. Luke. And this is Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. And this is Jesus at Martha's and Mary's. And Martha was focused on taking care of chores. And I'm pretty sure most of us already know, we have something in our mind and we start doing it. The floors need to be cleaned, or this needs to be dusted, or this needs to be cooked, or whatever. And you have a guest there. And sometimes we get wrapped up into that. And let's do 38. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. The woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And 39, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Because he knew Jesus doesn't come every day. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was probably getting him this, serving him this, preparing him this. And she went up to him, to the Lord, and says, do you not care what my sister has left me to serve? You know, you let me do all the work, and you just sitting there just doing nothing? And Jesus tell her she tells him, tell her then to help me. 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. In other words, I'm giving her instruction, something that she's going to take with her and be with her when I leave. And you're going to be too preoccupied about doing chores. Has this happened to us? Sometimes it has. Sometimes we get so caught up in taking care of guests that we forget to take care of the guests. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in serving, we don't spend time with people. Prioritize, brethren. Serve your guests to a point, but if they are sitting and talking, then you sit and talk. You enjoy the conversation. It is different if you are invited to a dinner, though. Expect some activity before everyone sits down to eat. And in a lot of our reunions we have, everybody gets involved with cleaning up. That way we all sit down and we all get and talk with each other. We spend some time with each other. Remember, prioritize, brother. Use your time wisely. Don't get your day clogged up with useless activities. Take control of your day. Don't let the schedule dictate to you. What it says on the schedule, but that schedule can fluctuate because you're in charge of that schedule. You make the schedule work for you. You might not be able to work 15 tasks effectively that day. You might have to drop 10 or drop it to 10. On the long haul, brethren, it will be easier on you. Everyone's schedule is different. Remember, brethren, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are in control of your time. 1 Corinthians 14. This is the English Standard Version. Again. It says, but all things should be done decently and in order. Just remember that, brethren. It's a lot easier to do if you accomplished a few things on your task list and did them right than do 15 of them and do half of them, each one half of them, or you forgot this, or you didn't do whatever you had to do quickly, and you left it done not right. There was a person that did some work on my rent house, and he didn't paint the whole house. He missed like a quarter of it. And I said, why didn't you finish the quarter? And he said, well, because I ran out of paint. Okay. And I said, he had another job. Okay. It's my point exactly. Whatever you're going to do, finish the whole job. Whatever it is, brethren. Brethren, be diligent. Fear God and keep his commandments.